Hey, this is Matt Hawkins, and you're listening to the Top Cow Chronology Project.
Thanks for joining us for the Comic Source Presents the Top Cow Chronology Project. This is one of your co-hosts, Jace. And just a reminder, you can go take a look at the chronology by going to our website, thecomicsourceblog.com. Click on the Top Cow Chronology Project link. And if you look off to the right, there's a little Comic Vine logo. If you click on that, that'll take you to the comicvine.com website where you can look at Condor's chronology. And we thank him once again for his hard work putting that together. And while you're at our site, take a look around, check out the sketch gallery, check out Manny's blog, check out my video reviews and creator interviews, and let us know what you think. So now I'm going to turn it over to my co-host Manny, and he's going to tell you about the creators that are responsible for Medieval Spawn Witchblade number 3 that we'll be covering this issue.
For this issue, writer, still Garth Ennis, penciled by Brandon Peterson, inkers D-Tron, Matt Banning, Brandon Peterson, Aaron Swad. Colors by Richard Eisenhoff and Ashby Manson.
Alright, so what were your thoughts about the wrap-up here?
I was okay with it. I mean, 2 was kind of a little bit of a downer. It was kind of, you know, we didn't love it, we didn't hate it. So the way it wrapped up, I was, you know.
Yeah, I agree. It was better than the last issue.
Yes, I will say that. I will agree with you there.
Not even exactly sure if I could put my finger on what was so bad about the second issue. So this was better, but still I was kind of left with the thought like, alright, so I read these 3 issues and...
Now what?
What was the point of that? We didn't really learn that much about the Witchblade.
We learned a little bit, but you're right. I didn't get much out of it either. I was kind of annoyed by that, the bartender guy, what was his name?
Stalker.
Stalker, yes.
The innkeeper.
Yeah, his little, you know, at the end. Yeah, I don't know. I think that's what I didn't enjoy the most of this, is his character. It just seemed, I understand they're trying to add a little comedy to it, but it didn't work for me.
Yeah, I have a feeling, if I remember right, Medieval Spawn, I think he was introduced in Spawn number 9. Which would have been pretty early on, like 92 or 93. Maybe as late as 94, but certainly no later than that. So a couple years before this, but I remember him being a very popular character. So I'm just wondering maybe this was like, okay, Silvestri and Top Cow had introduced the Witchblade and it was popular. It was a big, you know, success. And so it was a chance for him, you know, for Silvestri's studio to cross over with McFarlane's studio and give each other a boost, mm-hmm. You know, the Witchblade being the most popular Top Cow creation at the time and Medieval Spawn being a really popular creation of McFarlane's studios and, you know, him not being in a regular book like, you know, Spawn was in the regular Spawn title, but there wasn't a Medieval Spawn title. So let's get these 2 really popular characters and we'll put them together. And so people that maybe are only buying Top Cow books will be exposed to Spawn and perhaps they'll start picking up some McFarlane Studios books. And people that are fans of Spawn might pick this up and learn enough about the Witchblade to start picking up the Witchblade book. So maybe there was some of that in it. I'm not really sure.
I was also expecting Lady Eleanor to have a little bit more fight in her.
Well... I mean, you can't really hold that against her. She was made out of the darkness and, you know, sucking all the power back.
Well, I guess. I mean, before he completely, you know, took it all back, she displayed with Royale that, you know, she had quite a bit of power. So for her to, you know, just kind of go down pretty quick, that to me was a little bit disappointing.
Yeah, it was disappointing. But again, I mean, she, you know, her power is linked to the darkness and if Cardinal's calling all the power back into himself, you know, she's kind of out of luck.
Well, she was fighting, you know, a couple of pounds before he called it in, and she was still not doing very well.
Yeah, that's true. Maybe, perhaps Royale had, had prepared some spells specifically.
Some cool little Easter eggs, though, on the second, third page. Did you notice that?
No.
When Royale's looking for, I don't know exactly what he's looking for in the tower, but there's a Green Lantern, there's Boba Fett's helmet, R2-D2.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that mask off to the bottom right of the panel, is that, like, the mask?
That's what I'm thinking. Jim Carrey? Yeah, that's what I'm thinking it is. So, some of the other things I know...
Yeah, is that supposed to be a mother box there?
Oh, yes, that's what that is. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then, like, an Easter Island statue there in the background.
Yeah, so, you know, I guess they decided to add a little fun to this one as well. That was kind of cool.
Yeah, pretty interesting. All right, let's go over the synopsis real fast, what happened in the issue. So if you remember last time, the issue ended with Royale being up in this tower that housed all the elven magic, supposedly, and Katarina and Spawn down at the base of the tower trying to repel the Army of Darkness and Lord Cardinal to give Royale the time he needed. This episode starts with one of the soldiers from the army telling Cardinal that they've already killed hundreds of soldiers, they're mincemeat, and they should retreat. Cardinal responds by saying never and strangling him.
Typical.
And Lady Eleanor says, the worm Royale didn't give us a full story. The witchblade the woman wields could be the equal to your darkness power. With Spawn at her side, perhaps we've met our match. And he tells Eleanor to be quiet. He can't believe that his army has marched all this way to be halted inside the walls on the brink of their greatest triumph, especially not by two bloody mortals. The next page is a full-page splash of medieval Spawn and Katarina with the witchblade pretty much decimating the army. Then we switch to a scene of Royale looking for something in the tower. I take it that he's looking for that mirror that he eventually finds, but we'll get to that in a second. So he says, it's got to be here somewhere. And Stalker replies, what has? I thought you were supposed to be neutralizing magic. It doesn't look like it's very neutralized. And Royale tells him that he's irrelevant. Leave now and you'll stay alive. He can do whatever he wants. And Stalker says, oh yeah? And he shoots him with a crossbow, but Royale snatches the bolt out of the air, turns it into energy, fires it back at Stalker, who's blown out the window of the tower, but he's saved by Medieval Spawn catching him. Stalker tells Katarina and Medieval Spawn that Royale is not on their side, but Royale says it's too late, there's no stopping me, I found it, and apparently there's some magic mirror, and what he wants to know is when the apocalypse will come. And the mirror responds that the apocalypse will come October 2nd, 1996 AD. And then he asks the mirror, how can I live to see it? How shall I still be living 800 years from now? Tell me. And apparently the mirror gives him some kind of answer because he says, oh yes. So it seems strange to me. So here's this evil guy, Royale, the sorcerer. All he wants to do is live to see the end of the world. I mean...
Yeah, that is pretty weird. And who are all these people in the image? Do you recognize them? Because I don't.
No, I don't recognize anybody.
Is there any significance to that date? Do you happen to know?
No, other than it hadn't happened yet when this issue came out, I'm sure. So, I don't know. It just seems interesting to me. Like, so this guy, he apparently is, you know, very manipulative and very conniving and can figure out a way to wield power and do lots of things. And, you know, perhaps instead of manipulating people to have power in the world, he could have power himself and rule over, you know, whatever. But all he wants to do is live until the supposed apocalypse. I don't know. Seems like a weak motivation for a villain.
Yeah, because in the end, he doesn't get anything out of it.
Well, he's still alive.
Yeah, but, I mean, once the world ends, he's done, too.
I mean, perhaps there's more to the story. I guess we'll see. So then, the scene switches back to outside. Lady Eleanor says, my lord, we barely have 30 warriors left. We must retreat. And then Royale says, you can't leave yet, Cardinal. I have plans for you. And with what I know about the Witchblade, perhaps I can give you a reason to stay. And he shoots a bolt of power out at Katarina. And apparently, she no longer can control the Witchblade. The Witchblade is beginning to overwhelm her. She says, I am the Witchblade. And Lady Eleanor says, about time we got a break, because now that the Witchblade's overtaking Katarina, she's actually attacking Medieval Spawn. And Lord Cardinal says, go on, you fools, butcher each other. Medieval Spawn tries to talk some sense into Katarina, says, you don't know what you're doing. She says, I do. I am the Witchblade. And he says, no, listen to me. I knew you before. I was like this when I was just a man. We met 7 years ago in Sardina. We were lovers. And somehow that jars some memory in Katarina, and she's able to take charge of herself and her body and her mind. She holds the Witchblade aloft and says, I'm in charge. And Stalker asks what the hell that was all about. And Katarina says, something boosted the power of the Witchblade, increased its will enough for it to control me, but it won't happen again. And so she says that now it's time to finish business. And Cardinal says, yes, let's have an end to this. And he says that he wants to have all the power of the darkness. Now then Medieval Spawn says, you should prepare yourself for the final journey, Cardinal. And he says, we'll see about that. So Witchblade and Lady Eleanor start fighting, and Cardinal and Spawn start fighting, and Katarina and Spawn are both winning. So Lord Cardinal's answer to that is to say, enough, I call on all the darkness to aid me, every ounce of my power. And Lady Eleanor says, wait a second, if you call all your darkness into you, you'll destroy your army and you'll destroy me. Do not unmake me. Do not send me back to the darkest nothing. And then Royale says, I'll save you, but it'll be internal imprisonment, Eleanor. Feel free to rot. So somehow he saves her from being unmade, but she's in this cage in the middle of nowhere, apparently, where she's going to be stuck forever. So with all the power inside him, Lord Cardinal uses the power of the darkness to create these vines, and he has both Spawn and Katarina wrapped up. But Katarina calls on the power of the Witchblade. She cuts herself loose, and Cardinal says, no, I will not allow this. The Witchblade cannot be stronger. The darkness is supreme. And Katarina responds that it's not the weapon, it's the wielder, and stabs him and cuts off his head. So that's the end of Lady Cardinal. That's the end of Lord Cardinal. And then Katarina says that you can't find Royal anywhere. And Spawn says, nor I. It's a pity, because he thinks that that wretch has some great evil planned. So Stalker shows back up. He's got a bag full of elvish gold, and they're all happy to get back to their world. And then we see Lord Cardinal's head laying on the ground, and Royale walks up and says, this is not quite how I envisioned getting my hands on your power, but even like this, it'll work out. And then we switch to present day, 1996, and we see that Royale's sitting on that bench where he first started to tell the story, and he opens the cardboard box sitting next to him, and he's been carrying around Lord Cardinal's head all this time, and Cardinal is apparently still alive. So basically, Lord Cardinal at this point still is the possessor of the darkness, and each day Royale draws a little bit of that power into himself so that he's as good as immortal. And when the apocalypse breaks in 6 months' time, Cardinal will both be there to see it. So I'm wondering if, obviously, the apocalypse never came to pass, because the Witchblade universe, the universe of Witchblade exists and is still around. And this Lord Cardinal guy, he no longer is the wielder of the darkness. So maybe when whatever is going to happen is when the darkness series starts.
I guess we'll have to find out.
Yeah, I guess we'll find out. So one thing that the head of Cardinal needs to know is what happened to Spawn and the Witchblade. So Royale tells him about how they had met long ago, before the Medieval Spawn, when he was still human, and he rides off after Katarina tells him that there can be nothing between them now, and Stalker finds out that all the gold that he brought back was elvish gold, and it's now turned to pieces of lead, which Katarina is not very happy about, because she said, we went all that way and took all that risk and got killed nearly half a dozen times, all for nothing. And she holds up the Witchblade and says, do you know what I'm going to do with this? And that's the end. So,
was she really in it for the money in the beginning?
No, I don't think so. For the same reason that when Medieval Spawn asked, you know, tell me about yourself, and she said that she liked drinking and fighting.
Yeah, I know, but
she got the, and in the first issue, she got the Witchblade, and she said it made her feel real good, and she couldn't wait to fight. So I don't know that she was necessarily in it for the money, but at the same time, she couldn't pay for her stay at the inn, and she was having to shovel horse crap.
Oh, that's true.
So I'm sure she wouldn't have minded having some kind of, you know, monetary or financial reward. So yeah, the first issue was pretty good. The second, just okay. This wrapped up everything pretty well. There weren't really too many questions left unanswered other than, for myself, not a very satisfying reason, not a very logical motivation for what Royale was doing. But again, maybe we'll find out later.
So how did you feel about the whole Spawn and Katarina being lovers beforehand, or one night stand beforehand?
Yeah, you know, I'm trying to overlook the, you know, convenience, you know, the coincidence of all that. So I don't know. And, you know, again, it just, were we missing a page in that first issue? You know, I don't know. It just seems strange. We never saw it. We still don't know where the Witchblade actually came from. So I will say that I think out of all three issues, the art in the second issue was the best out of all three issues. The story was the weakest in the second issue, but the art was the best.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, some of the art in issue three is really good, especially the page where Cardinal calls all the power into himself. But again, you know, the backgrounds are very light, and a lot of the rendering just seems really messy. I mean, there are times when it's done well, but I mean, even on some of the big splash pages, like where Katarina and Witchblade start fighting, when Katarina and Spawn, Medieval Spawn, start fighting because the Witchblade has taken over her. I mean, she's done very rough.
Yeah. It's very cartoon-like.
Yeah. I mean, Spawn looks good, but she looks, you know, extremely rough, so.
Yeah, the face is terrible on that specific panel.
So again, it just may have been a timing thing, you know. And the other thing is, what we might be seeing is, there were a few different inkers, right?
Yeah.
So it may be that some of the pages are done, the pages that we're enjoying a little more, might be done by inkers who are, you know, a little stronger. But actually, now that I go back and look at the credits, all the pencils weren't even by Brandon Peterson. Brandon Peterson only did the first 12 pages. And then we got a couple pages by Michael Turner, a couple pages by Anthony Nguyen, and then it's finished up by Billy Tan.
Oh, that's...
So that might be why it seems, you know, a little uneven, because it probably is.
Well, online, Brandon Peterson's only given the credit for it, so that's interesting to find out. Then again, I should have seen that page, given that I read the issue.
Because, yeah, there's definitely some inconsistency in...
In the artwork, yeah, I can definitely see that.
Yeah, and see, that's the page I was talking about that looked so good. That's the reason I think it looks so good, it's a Michael Turner page. You know, that and the page before are both done by Michael Turner. I kind of thought it looked like him, and I just thought that maybe Peterson was channeling him. But it really shows, and, you know, I mean, Lord Cardinal, at the beginning of the book and at the end of the book, looks like almost two completely different characters. So, but that'll happen, you know. I mean, I'm sure that Peterson fell behind, and he just needed help, you know, finishing, and didn't want the book to be late. I mean, there was a lot of late books, especially from Image back in the 90s, and it really hurt sales. You know, I mean, comic shops would pay their money, you know, and have this money out for their, you know, they'd order the books, the books wouldn't come, but they'd still be on that bill, and they'd pay for them, and so they had money out. And they didn't have the books to sell to get that money back.
Oh.
You know, and so it was hurting, you know, a lot of the comic shops. And I mean, this was right in the 90s, right before the big crash, 96. The crash was just, you know, starting to happen. So, but all in all, an enjoyable story. I don't, like we said, I don't know how much it furthered the story of the actual Witchblade, but it's part of the Top Cow chronology. So we're here to read it. So you don't necessarily have to. I will say that I find Medieval Spawn to be an interesting character. I mean, I don't know that much about Spawn. I read Spawn for like the first 25 issues or so when it came out back in the day. I have never read any of it since. But I don't remember that Spawn, the Al Simmons Spawn, being particularly noble or wanting to do. I mean, this guy, he seems like...
More of a knight.
A knight, yeah. Like very gallant and noble and so... He's somebody who I would be willing to read more stories, although I hope that he's a little more fleshed out. I mean, cause he is kind of two dimensional in this.
Yeah, I was going to tell you, he's a little bland.
Yeah, he's, you know, the typical Sir Galahad type, the knight errant doing good deeds and.
Yeah, there's not much Spawn. We didn't see much of the spawn.
Yeah, there's not much substance to him. So, and especially considering, I mean, the books and he's supposedly one of the main characters.
Yeah.
We kind of got more characterization and personality out of Stalker than we did from...
Yeah, Stalker and Royale than we did of Spawn.
Than Spawn, other than we know that he, you know, come to find out, he knew Katarina from before and apparently had some feelings for her because they hooked up, where to her it was just a roll in the hay and, you know, he went away dejected, so... An interesting character. Like I said, I would be interested to read more about him. All in all, not a bad story. We'll see if it ties in later into the greater Top Cow universe. So, we want to thank you for joining us once again. And if you want to contact us, you can go to Facebook, do a search for The Comic Source on Facebook. That's us. You can follow us on Twitter, twitter.com/TheComicSource. Drop us an email at thecomicsourceblog@gmail.com. And of course, you can check out our website, thecomicsourceblog.com. The next issue that we're actually going to cover is Lady Death Medieval Witchblade, #1. And that's from Chaos Comics and Top Cow. And that also is an issue that hasn't really been collected. It's, again, something you're going to have to go to eBay and look for. So make sure you join us. Don't want to miss an episode. We'll talk to you then.